Welcome, everyone, to another episode of A Teaching, A Song, and A Poem. And I'll probably throw in a cripplingly bad joke. And almost certainly, as is in the case in most episodes, you'll get a mispronunciation or two. Chris will certainly point them out to you if you are ever in doubt about what they are, although most of them are probably so obvious that there is little doubt, if any, about what I am mispronouncing. But before we get to all that, I'll start, as I always do, with thanking you for your support of the show. Thank you for listening, thank you for contributing, and thank you for being part of what we're doing here. It means so much to us, and, I always run out of words at this point. I frequently run out of words under most circumstances, but this one in particular, which is to say that thank you. So what I want to talk about this week, if it goes the way I'm thinking it will, this will be the first in a four-part series. Some of you might be thinking back to several episodes ago when I said, well, I'm going to start talking about Buddhist psychology. And I've not lost sight of that. And in this case, this is actually part of, you could say, that series as a whole. But it's a slightly more specific part of it. But what I want to talk about is the idea in Buddhism. It's often called the three treasures or the three jewels. And it says, I take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And where I want to start there is with this idea of refuge. And refuge is, when we say I take refuge, it's exactly the way it sounds, in the way that you would take refuge from a storm underneath a shelter or in a house, or in the same way that a refugee flees the country they're in and they look for a safe refuge. So that's what we're talking about here. And it's been on my mind lately because I've been talking with some people, as I'm often doing, about recovery from alcoholism or addictions of all sorts. And I was talking a little bit about the idea of in 12-step programs, there is this concept of a higher power. It basically says, you know, if I were to summarize 12-step programs in one sentence, which is always dangerous, trying to summarize huge swaths of knowledge in one sentence, but it would basically be that we can't solve the problem ourselves, and so we need help from a higher power in order to solve it. That's what a 12-step program does. It says you need help from a higher power in order to get over your alcoholism. Well, okay. So what does that mean? What is a higher power? When I got sober the first time at 24, I was so desperate that I was willing to believe anything. And in 1994, in AA in Central Ohio, that higher power was most traditionally defined as God and was most traditionally thought of as, if not a Christian God, at the very least an interventionist God, a God who came in and performed these things on your behalf, or performed miracles on your behalf, or intervened in your life, even if it was to heal you of alcoholism. And so I got sober, and I was willing to believe anything, and so I worked really hard to believe that, and it was good enough to get me sober. The problem was that several years into being sober, my marriage fell apart. The mother of my son fell in love with someone else, and she left me, and my world completely fell apart. And at that moment, I looked towards my spiritual life for consolation, for refuge, and I realized I didn't really believe what I had been trying to make myself believe, or I had a very, I guess, for lack of a better word, what felt to me, upon looking at it closer, a more adolescent sort of spirituality. And I think it was basically like, well, if I do good things in the world, then nothing bad will happen to me. And when something bad happened to me, I went, wait, this isn't fair. Again, like I said, kind of a childish spirituality. But I realized that I didn't have anything that mattered. And so over the course of a couple years, I eventually went back to drinking, and not having a spiritual life was part of it. The divorce was part of it. There was a whole lot of components to it. That's a much longer story than we have time for in this episode. But fast forward a few years, drinking isn't going very well. Surprise, surprise. I need to get sober again. I go back to AA. And I'm confronted with the same question again. I need a higher power, according to AA, in order to work the steps. I need a higher power in order to get sober, and what does that mean for me? Now, in AA, they'll often say things, people say like, well, anything can be your higher power, which is a lovely idea, that anything can be your higher power. People say, well, your doorknob could be a higher power. And I just remember thinking, well, that is, if you've ever said this, I apologize to you. I probably said it at one point. That's stupid. Like, what good is a doorknob going to do me in solving the problems in my life? I need something that I am able to believe in. I need something that can actually help me. And so I found my way into a higher power that made sense for me, one that I could believe in. And for me, in essence, it really was two things. It was a belief in spiritual principles, that if I lived my life according to certain principles, I could handle whatever happened. And then secondly, in the power of the group to help me. And so I say all that to get back to this question of taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. How do they connect? Well, in talking with people about what they might find as a higher power for them, my thinking has evolved over the years. It started out, as I said, all those years ago, spiritual principles in the groups, which would map fairly closely to Dharma and Sangha. So Dharma is often translated as being the teachings of the Buddha or wise teachings in general, and Sangha is the community. And so I realized that in those days, I sort of found my way into finding a higher power that was based on two of those three treasures that we talk about in Buddhism. And so I think it's really helpful to look in life, where are the places that I can take refuge? Because the storms of life are surely going to blow. You know, if they're not blowing for you now, settle in, because they're coming, right? They always do. And when the storms of life come, it's really helpful to have a place that we take refuge. And so I'm going to talk in more detail in the next episodes about what we mean by Buddha, by Dharma and Sangha. I sort of defined Dharma as the teachings of the Buddha, or just wise teachings in general. And that's certainly a starting point, as well as Sangha being a community of practitioners, a Buddhist center, or in my case, AA was my Sangha, right? And so we'll explore each of those in turn in the upcoming episodes. All right, I promised a terribly bad joke in the beginning, and I am going to deliver. This one actually ties to our teaching in that I delivered it to my Buddhist group. I practice with a Zen group that's based in Boulder, Colorado, and I tried to tell them this joke one day. I thought it was a good Zen joke for reasons that are not obviously apparent, and to say it was a good joke was a bad thing. But here's the joke anyway. Knock, knock. Who's there? Interrupting cow. Interrupting cow, moo. I actually didn't work that time either. It's a really bad joke. In Zen, the very first koan in my tradition that we practice is, does a dog have Buddha nature? And the answer, moo, means no in Japanese. And before you get upset about a dog having Buddha nature or not, don't email. Well, you can email me about it if you want. I'd love to hear from you under any circumstances. Anyway, I thought this interrupting cow joke, having moo in it, would work. But the problem was there was a technical delivery problem. And it was that I was delivering it via Zoom and there was a delay. And so it didn't come across right. It didn't come across right this time because you need two people to do a knock-knock joke, and I did not pull that off very convincingly. I told you it was going to be a terribly, terribly bad joke, and I have now completely lived up to that. Our poem this week comes to me from a member of my, well, he's not a member of my Zen Sangha. I guess I'd say he's a member of the One You Feed Sangha. He might even be listening to this. John, hello. John sent me a wonderful poem by another John O'Donohue, who is, I believe, an Irish poet. He has passed, and this one is called A Blessing. May you awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. May you have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. May you receive great encouragement when new frontiers beckon. May you respond to the call of your gift and find the courage to follow its path. May the flame of anger free you from falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame, and may anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. May you take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. May you be consoled in the secret symmetry of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. That is a blessing by John O'Donohue, and I wish that blessing for each and every one of you. And now on to our song. Our song this week is by Frank Turner, who was a guest of the show, and I know I've certainly played at least a couple of his songs in Teaching Song and a Poem, but he's one of my favorites. And to keep our theme of taking refuge from a storm, this song is called The Next Storm. I don't think it needs a lot of complicated explanation from me. I think that you can listen to it, enjoy it, and get the basic meaning of it. Frank is not known for his subtlety of what he's trying to say. It's one of the things I love about him. Some people don't love it so much, but very, very direct. And so this song is called The Next Storm. And I've put in a live version of it here because, Frank Turner's great live, and I love the sound of everybody singing along. It's what makes the concert so great. So thank you again for listening. Thanks for being here, and thank you for your support of the show, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Raise up the mast.